Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 11th day of August, 2023. I'm very excited about some major events that are rapidly approaching. And one of those events includes a three-day event in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, more specifically Manheim, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County. This is the Future of Christendom Conference, which is going to be held Friday, September 15th through Sunday, September the 17th. The Sunday portion will be the worship services of Independence Reformed Bible Church, and this three-day event is going to be held at Spooky Nook Sports. Very bizarre name for a gorgeous, breathtaking event facility. Spooky Nook Sports and Events in Manheim, Pennsylvania. This is the Future of Christendom Conference, which will feature Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And the theme is the gospel at war. Dr. White is the keynote speaker, but there are quite a number of other speakers at this conference, including my guest today, who I will be introducing momentarily. There's also going to be a debate during this three-day event that I have orchestrated. It will be held on Saturday, September 16th, starting at 3:30 p.m. This is a debate that Dr. White will be having with an individual who identifies himself as a gay Christian. His name is Dr. Gregory Coles. And the theme of the debate is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? Dr. James R. White will be opposing that thesis, and Dr. Gregory Coles will be defending it. I hope that all of you listening will make every effort to be there, no matter where you live, take a train, plane, automobile to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I would love to meet many of you that I've never met before at this event. And you can register at this event at futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Register as soon as possible so that you can take advantage of the discount price. And by the way, the price comes with free lunch and refreshments on Saturday. So I hope to see you there, and we'll be repeating that, and you'll be hearing ads during this program promoting that event as well. But today I have a first-time guest who I just mentioned briefly earlier is one of the speakers at the Future of Christendom Conference. His name is John Bingaman. He is a board member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, and today we are going to be addressing the theme, The Necessity of Church Planting. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, John Bingaman.
Chris, thank you. Appreciate it.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
You are, Chris. Yeah. Many years ago, there was a TV show called McHale's Navy, and there was guy on there named Captain Binghamton, and all my life I've been getting that, but it's been off the TV so long that people actually struggle with my name now and get it right more than not.
Yeah, in fact, I remember that captain very well, I don't recall ever seeing that actor again in anything else, but he was quite humorous. The perfect voice, annoying, nasally voice, and nerdy appearance. And by the way, I'm going to tell our listeners right away to mark on your calendars the second Friday of September. My guest's wife, Beth Bingaman, will be our guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as well. So you might as well mark down your calendar for that date.
Yeah, Chris.
Which is September 8th, by the way, the second Friday of September.
Yeah, I should point out, Chris, that actually my wife Beth will be speaking and I will not. When you were able to arrange the debate, we deep sixed some of the speakers, and I didn't make the cut. So, but
by the way, I didn't either, but I voluntarily told, I told Joel, if anybody needs to be cut, make me first, because I would rather give as much time to James White as possible. So I fell on my sword, and got cut.
Well, and I'm happy to do so. Beth will be speaking about the gospel at war with feminism. So, she's really looking forward to giving that talk.
Is there such a war? That's amazing.
let's ramp it up, huh?
Now, she's an author also, correct?
She is. Beth's passion is in mentoring women. She's like me, she's a gray hair, but she takes the Titus 2 passage very seriously about the older women mentoring and helping the younger women. And so she's written a book on that, and I'm sure she'll be happy to talk about that when she's on your program. She blogs two or three times a week as well, and she speaks at women's ministries whenever asked. She gives as much time to it as possible. She's got one coming up in Western PA at the end of August.
Now, what is the title of her book?
I should know this, but it's not right in front of me.
I think it's titled The Trials of Being Married to a Man with a Bad Memory.
There you go. She would appreciate that, yes.
Tell us something about the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society for which you serve on the board.
Yep, thank you, Chris. Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, and I'll shorten it to MARS for now, got started in 2010, I believe. Several guys getting together at restaurants and just talking about how does the Bible apply to things that are outside of church and outside of what the church is talking about. I was not at the first two meetings, but I was invited to subsequent ones. After that, I was able to insinuate myself onto the board. For the good number of years from 2010 through 2016 or so, we were doing weekly meetings. I'm sorry, not weekly, monthly meetings in and around either Berks County, which is just north of Lancaster County, or sometimes in Lancaster County, where we would go to a restaurant. They would give us a meeting space because a number of us would have supper there, and then invite anybody who was interested, anybody who we could catch their ear, to listen to several of us give talks about how the Bible applies to various issues of life. Joel Saint, who is the executive director of MARS, will tell you that our original thought was that we would develop MARS into an organization that could help churches, perhaps by going in to teach a Sunday school class or have a Saturday meeting at their churches and point out how the Bible deals with immigration or taxation or feminism or various issues of the day. And boy, were we wrong. The pastors gave us one big, fat, silent treatment. We did get a number of pastors come out one time when we bought their supper, but as one of our members once he said, "Well, yeah, you got the plate lickers," and that's where our work with the churches kind of stopped. But anyway, well, you know, we were getting a bit of a following, it's in 2016 or 2017 we decided that we would try to have a larger conference, a bigger meeting that would last for a couple of days. And so we started those, and we had the first couple of those in Reading, Pennsylvania. And then we moved to Lancaster, and then we got shut out by COVID. We had plans for a 2020 conference that got, we got frozen out of the venue, of course. So since then, we've been having a smaller events at campgrounds in and around Lancaster County, where we would have, instead of a 2 or 3 day event, we would just have a single day event. But that's the origin of Future of Christendom. Our very first conference was entitled The Future of Christendom, and we invited a number of speakers. Actually, we had the late Gary North at that very first one.
Wow.
Although, yeah, he did not come physically. He had just been diagnosed with the cancer from which he died.
Wow.
But he did dial in and give a presentation by I guess it was Zoom or something like that, something that resembled Zoom at the time. And so this Future of Christendom conference that we're looking forward to, that you gave us such a nice big plug for, is the latest of those, and we're looking for big things. We're just thrilled to have Dr. White involved. Out of Mars grew our church, Independence Reformed Bible Church, and we'll talk about that later as being a possibly viable way of getting a church started. But Independence Reformed Bible Church is Reformed Baptist, and of course, you don't get any better spokesman for the theology and the mechanics of theology than Dr. White.
Yes. And I'm sure, especially now that he has not only become postmillennial, but a theonomist, which is even more of a reflection of Independence Reformed Bible Church.
That's a fact.
When I was a new Christian, and somehow, by God's providence, by the way, I'm confessing right now that I'm still a millennial, but I'm very open to be educated on other eschatological views. But
there's still time.
Well, especially since you're a postmillennialist, there's definitely a lot of time.
A lot of time.
When I first became a Christian, and somehow by God's providence, very quickly developed friendships with not only postmillennialists, but theonomists, never had a problem with that at all, even though I had disagreements. In the beginning of my, Christian life, R.J. Rushdoony was a client of mine on WMCA radio, an affiliate of Salem Media, the largest Christian radio network in the world, where I worked for 15 years. I worked for their New York affiliate, WMCA. And R.J. Rushdoony was one of my clients on a program that I invented called The Voice of Sovereign Grace. It was on every night, Monday through Friday, and five different pastors hosted the show. RJ was one of them. And at that time, you could hardly find anywhere in the world a Baptist who was a theonomist. The only one that I was aware of was William Einwechter of, a church in, I can't remember if it's Enola, Pennsylvania right now. I'm drawing a blank.
I think it's in Stevens.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Free Reformed Church, I think.
Emmanuel Free, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which is an odd title because there is a Paedo-Baptist denomination named the Free Reformed Church, but they are Reformed Baptists. And Brother Einwechter used to write articles for Rushdoony in the Chalcedon Report. And he was the only one that I was aware of for decades. And now there is a volcanic eruption of Baptists who are embracing not only postmillennialism, but theonomy. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's happening.
It truly is. Here's a little bit of trivia for you, Chris. William Einwechter was Joel Saint's roommate in college.
Wow.
So, yes. So we know of his writings and of his church for sure.
Great. Well, we have a tradition here that I've been conducting ever since we launched this program in 2005. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, and that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and save them, and we would love to hear a summary of your story.
Okay. Chris, I'm 69 years old. I grew up here in right outside of Reading, Pennsylvania, and I still live in the same little borough that I grew up in. My parents were at least nominal Christians, but we attended what's known as this denomination called the UCC, United Church of Christ.
Very liberal. And that's actually, that's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
I would call it apostate leftist.
Well, it certainly is. It certainly is now. There's no question. I would not attend a UCC any longer. But it was a church that I grew up in. We walked there. This little town that I live in called West Reading is a live, work, play kind of place. And we walked to church. And so, I grew up there. I grew up in the church. I sang in the choir. My mom was what you would, often people would call her their church lady. You know, if the doors were open, mom was there. And, she was very involved in the choir. And so I grew up singing. I grew up, was in the cherub choir, and then I was in the junior choir, and then I was in the intermediate choir, and then I was in the senior choir. Grew up singing the hymns of the faith. It may have been a liberal denomination, but they still had a hymnal. And I never got anything out of the service per se, but I learned a lot from Sunday school teachers who taught the classic Sunday school curricula. And I learned a lot by reading the hymns, not just singing them, but reading them. And so I had this ingrained love of the harmonies in the hymnody of the Christian faith. So I got to 18. I left for college, and I left the church, and I didn't look back. I lived a thoroughly pagan lifestyle through my 20s and 30s. I had met my wife at the University of Delaware, where I went to college. And we were good people, Chris, you know, the kinds, we had two children. We didn't kick the dog. We paid our bills. We're good, right? My wife grew up Methodist, and when we had kids, she took the kids to her Methodist church here in Reading. And, I didn't object to that. I wasn't hostile to Christianity. I just didn't see much sense in it, didn't see much value in it.
But of course, as we know today, the United Methodist Church is hostile toward Christianity.
it truly is.
With some exception. I know some conservative Bible-believing pastors who are still in the United Methodist Church, some of whom are intending to leave for the global Methodist denomination, the new conservative group.
Yeah. And may God help them. I mean, I believe that there's a remnant of people in a lot of these churches. So much tradition goes on where that keeps people in the church. It's my church, after all. This is where I grew up, and I'm not leaving, yada, yada. But anyway, so back to my salvation. So the kids were getting a little bit at the Methodist church, and the Lord was working on my wife, and I am a serial entrepreneur. You know, I grabbed for the brass ring a number of times in my career. When I was first out of college, I became a CPA, and then after that, I became a carpenter and a contractor. And after having been put out of business by a tornado, got involved in a couple of other startups. And, you know, so I was scrambling, always scrambling. And I found myself in the late 80s, 89, 90, 91. I was driving from Berks County towards Philadelphia for a part-time job to keep some food on the table. And you could only listen to talk radio for so long. You know, I was a political junkie listening to all the politics of the day. And it just started getting a little tiring. And one day, as I was driving down to work, I was casting about on the radio, and I came across a Christian station, WBYN. Actually, it was WBYO then, out of Boyertown. And they were playing hymns. Well, I knew the hymn, so I was singing along with the hymn. And I started timing my my drives to catch the hymns. Well, what was interesting is that after the hymns were over, that little period of like 6:30 to 7, they had a preacher coming on. This guy's preaching the gospel, and, well, I didn't know it was the gospel. I was just listening to it. And one day I said to my wife, Beth, you really need to listen to this guy, Chuck somebody, on this radio. And it was Chuck Swindoll. And now Chuck Swindoll is a dispensational preacher, but mm-hmm. you don't listen to him for too long without getting a serious gospel message.
Right.
And I mean, I got saved listening to Chuck Swindoll and radio preachers like David Jeremiah, also wildly dispensational. But that's what God used to get a hold of my get my attention. He used the hymns to get my attention, and then he used that preaching to get me into the Bible. And then, you know, once God has you opening the scriptures and actually reading it, and giving you some eyes to see what's in there, you know, it's not even fair. The Holy Spirit's just going to do his work, and that was that. So there it is. I got saved listening to dispensational preaching on the radio. We went to my wife came to me about the same time saying, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, well, great, Beth. There's this church up on the hill that I knew about from my contracting days. I used to be on a job site, and there was this old man who was a flooring contractor, and his knees were just done, Chris. You would see him on the floor. He'd be pounding the carpet in, or he'd be laying tile, and he was in obvious pain. And he would get up, and he would smile. And one day, I said to him, one of the other guys on the job, I said, well, what's with Bob? Man's always got a smile on his face. He's a Bible thumper from up there on the hill. Goes to the church up there on Hamden Boulevard. So, you know, it's just something that stuck in my head. And we went in there, and it was a Reformed church. And so we parked there for a number of years. That's where we met Joel Saint. He had walked in there with his family shortly after we started there, I learned a lot there, and then I learned more from Joel, and then, you know, the reading just kept coming and coming and coming, and Joel's the one who really, you know, turned my head as far. I had pretty much left the dispensationalism behind after about a year, but I was like you, Chris. I went to the Amil camp for a while, and then Joel got a hold of me, and then it was all over.
And by the way, I want to let our listeners know, since I clearly identified the United Church of Christ denomination in a very negative light, there are a minority of those congregations that are still faithful to the scriptures. And one of them is Salem Church of Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. The pastor there, Michael Klaus, is intending to draw the congregation out of that denomination. It just hasn't happened yet. And you might want to listen to, after this live program is over, an interview I did with Micah Klaus, and also Ed Boyle, who's the pastor of Trinity Christian Church of New Bloomfield, which is a former United Church of Christ congregation. That church already left that denomination. And the theme is there hope for the United Church of Christ? So you might want to listen to that. It took place on June 16th of this year. And if you type in Klaus, C-L-O-U-S-E, into the search engine at ironsharpensironradio.com, that will be the only recording that comes up. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, I'm glad you did. That'll be an interesting interview to listen to. It does seem that if anybody's faithful in the UCC, they're working at getting out.
Right. In fact, after interviewing Michael Klaus, whose church is still in there, I found out that in some ways, in some areas, he's more conservative than I am. So he certainly could not survive too much longer in that denomination.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's awful.
Yeah. I mean, they are almost neck and neck with the Universalist Unitarians or Unitarian Universalists, however they order those words. The most left-wing denomination, I think, known to man. We're going to be going to our first break, and when we return, we are going to be diving into the discussion that is the main theme of our broadcast, the necessity of church planting. And if you have a question for John Bigaman, please send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in disagreement with your own elders at your church over an issue that involves church planting. Perhaps you're even a pastor yourself and you have disagreements with your own fellow elders or your denomination or something like that. We would understand that those reasons and others would compel you to remain anonymous. But if you're asking a general question, please give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with John Bingaman and the necessity of church planting right after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arns and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arns and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group, and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model to photorealistic image to wax prototype model to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, royaldiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. Anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience who purchases jewelry from royaldiadem.com will ensure that we receive 100% of the profits from that sale merely by you mentioning Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you're making your purchase. Whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, valued at $100 or more, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created. For instance, if you're getting engaged and you want to have an engagement ring customized, or let's say you want to take your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business or corporation logo, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And you can be assured it will be created exactly the way you want it, because no matter where in the world you live, you are involved in every single step of the customizing process through the miracle of computer software. You get to watch every phase of development as it's being created, and you have the opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute, I love this, but I hate that. Hey, can you make this stone a different color? Can you make this stone bigger? And on and on and on. And that will go on until it reaches a point where you are satisfied with how the image looks of your jewelry. And then on top of that, in the mail, you will receive a wax prototype, a three-dimensional wax prototype, and you still have the opportunity to make changes. So this will be done exactly the way you want it. If you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com very soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this mind-blowing opportunity for us, where we receive 100% of the profits from that sale. That's royaldiadem.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with our guest today, John Bingaman. We're discussing the necessity of church planting. If you have a question, give us an email at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Tell us, first of all, John Bingaman, especially for the fact that there, in addition to people who listen to this show who are seasoned Christians and pastors and seminary professors and theologians, there are also very new babes in Christ who listen, and there are also people of different religions who listen. So why don't you define church planting? Because I even was speaking to a young man recently who's a new convert, and he didn't even know what I was talking about.
Okay. Well, I mean, church planting is really nothing more than starting up a new church. The question ends up being, when I say the necessity of it, I think that is because of the state of the church that we see around us in America today. We were just discussing the UCC and the United Methodists as being churches that really have gone off the rails as far as conforming to anything that you would recognize in the Bible, and so it seems necessary that we get churches started again. Then there's the question of the mega churches. I don't know if you've ever read Gary Gillies' book, This Little Church Went to Market.
No.
But it's it's kind of an indictment of the big churches, those churches with thousands of members, as being essentially just a business. It's about the it turns right into the money. And so if the church that you're in is neglecting the Bible, has abandoned the Bible, if the church that you're in has more or less abandoned you because you're just a number in the pew, then I think it's incumbent on us to think about, at the very least, think about getting a church started. It's not something that you do lightly. There are some things that you have to have in place in order to do it. But if we could get thousands of little churches started that were biblically literate and biblically sound, and who were devoted to the Bible, God could fan those little fires into one big conflagration anytime he wanted to. And I think that's what we're seeing without seeing it. Some years ago, my pastor Joel Saint and a number of young men from our church went to a debate sponsored by Apologia Studios out in Arizona. And the most encouraging thing that came out of their trip was the fact that they ran into a dozen guys like themselves, a dozen, let's say, churches like IRBC that were just this little church that's completely off everybody's radar. Nobody knows about it, but there they were. And if that's going on, you know, and you can meet those guys at one debate, then there's a lot more of that going on than we realize. And I think it's vitally important. The topic that I wanted to talk about was the importance of church planting. And it's mostly based on the experience that Joel and I, have both had with churches.
Well, actually, you use the term necessity, and I wanted you to clarify that, because I'm assuming you do not mean that it is a required necessity that every single congregation is involved in the planting of another church somewhere.
No, not exactly. But I would encourage people to think about, in their churches, think about if they're growing, to spin out daughter congregations so that the pastoring, the shepherding can take place on biblical terms, on a biblical scale. That when things get so big, it gets very impersonal. A lot of churches try to work around that with small groups and or adding pastors of visitation and pastors of this and that. But I think that the models of churches that we see in Acts and in the Bible are much smaller affairs than that. So it seems to me that there's this necessity that comes about because of the apostasy of some of our churches, of the mainline churches especially, and also the size of our churches. I think it becomes necessary to start spinning these out into new churches, or maybe daughter, if you want to call them daughter churches, that's fine too. But our experience was that we couldn't just leave the churches that we were in, that we were dissatisfied with, because we couldn't find anything that was seemingly, it wasn't that was theonomic, that was post-mill, and we see that as biblical, this biblical way to organize your church. So I mean that's where the necessity comes from for us. If you can't worship in the church that you're in, then it may be necessary to start one, and it's not impossible to do.
Well, we already have a listener question who happens to be an anonymous listener.
All right.
The anonymous listener says, I am remaining anonymous because I'm very disturbed about a church that is being planted. And even though this church is being planted by a close friend, I am in strong disagreement with how he is conducting this plant. He basically just took it upon himself to plant a church, to make it publicly known through flyers and social media that this church was being planted. But this was not a plant of another established congregation. Isn't this a violation of biblical principles?
It may very well be. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I've had the call. And when we began our own church, we did look to outside outside help for ordination and for confirmation of the call. You can run into, you know, you can run into some real problems if you're just running off half-cocked and you don't have a strong team of advisors and believers alongside. So your listener, I think, is right to be concerned, but maybe he really needs to speak with the fellow who's planting the church to find out where his call is coming from, and if he has some sort of backup on his calling and on his startup.
Now, I'm assuming that since the listener said it was a friend of his or hers, that conversation happened.
So it's something to be very concerned about. It's always a concern. If what you're trying to do is start it on the force of your own personality, I mean, that's a cult, not necessarily pride. Yeah. Well, and there's no shortage of pride going around. I fight with that every day. Do you?
Yes. Everybody that I know does, except for me.
and you're proud of that.
That's
Chris.
Right.
I hear that.
People who are endeavoring, to plant a church really have to prayerfully rule out wrong motives. I personally know of some instances where vengeance was even a motive, where somebody left a church in bad blood for some reason or another, and they planted a church very close to that church. Even if there's no bad blood or vengeance involved, isn't it wise to do some investigation about the theological makeup of churches in a specific area? And if there are already churches there that reflect your theology and doctrine and so on, shouldn't you be not only more respectful of the existing church, but if you really believe what you stand for is biblical and vital, wouldn't you want to have that church planted in an area where that viewpoint, or viewpoints plural, were a minority or perhaps even non-existent?
I would agree with that, Chris. With the proviso, again, that you're not moving into perhaps a mega church. It's certainly something if we could have found a church where we could worship, where we were not constantly fighting either a dispensational thought or some sort of overbearing membership requirements, or, you know, things like that. You know, we found churches. Both Joel and I tried a number of different churches that we thought, well, rather than start a church, let's go here. I tried this, he tried that, and always found something that was preventing us from actual truly worshiping. And so that's why we landed on a church plant. And so for us, we found it to be necessary. I believe that it's possible to do this. The topic of our first Christendom, Future of Christendom conference, so it's actually what Gary North spoke about, was church planting and church building. and what to be looking for. And I would encourage people to go listen. Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with everything that Dr. North said in his talks. They were both very helpful, and we have those posted on our Future of Christendom website in the archives.
Great. The area of church planting, if I'm not mistaken, the importance of it seems to, in your understanding, be coming from an apprehension of the idol that many people have, many pastors, elders, congregations, and denominations have made an idol of the huge congregation. And I have to be very careful because there are huge churches that I admire what they're doing greatly. John MacArthur's congregation where he pastors, Grace Community Church, is one. But there are obviously mega churches that, in comparison, make Grace Community Church a dwarf church. But the size can be relative, you know, according to who you're speaking with. And, of course, Grace Community Church has, probably enough elders, to adequately oversee a congregation that large. But it was kind of funny. I've interviewed Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You. I've interviewed him probably more times than any other guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, perhaps with the exception of Dr. Joe Moorcraft of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. But Phil one time during an interview made me chuckle when he was describing a gathering of believers within Grace Community Church that he was involved in the oversight for. And he described it as, it's a tiny chapel of folks of about 500. And I laughed. I said, do you realize that's about five times the size of your average Reformed Baptist congregation? But in fact, I'm going to let you pick up where I left off there after we return from our midway break, because we have to go to our midway break. And I'll have you respond to the whole matter of church size and the area of being compelled to perhaps break apart a large church so that they are receiving more adequate oversight and that kind of thing. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. So send in your questions to John Bingaman on church planting at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. I want to remind you, please be patient. This is the midway break, which is longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program, is required by the FCC to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, where they're located. And they do so with their own public service announcements and other things. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more successfully respond to our advertisers. And we hope that that sometimes, at least, means that you buy their products, use their services, and visit their churches. But when you can't do any of that, there's one thing that you definitely can do if you love this show. Thank our advertisers for sponsoring this program. We absolutely, positively need our advertisers to exist. The funding that comes from advertisers on this show is indispensable. So please thank them at least. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th. In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church.
This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, I'm urging you to go to solid-ground-books.com today and purchase as many books as you possibly can, because our dear friends at solid-ground-books.com, who have been sponsoring this show since its inception, are going through some financially hard times. They've gone into a slump, as it were, with their book sales. And if you really want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to continue airing, you need to be helping our advertisers like solid-ground-books.com. And you're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish and also bring back into print nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please visit solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, John Bingaman, who is one of the board members of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, we are discussing the necessity of church planting and promoting a three-day event in Lancaster featuring the aforementioned Dr. James R. White of Alpha Mega Ministries, September 15th through the 17th. But before I return to that discussion, I have some important announcements to make. Once again, folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear, you look forward to the topics and guests that I have on this program daily. Sometimes you'll never hear some of these folks ever anywhere else. And these are very often brilliant people who are among the shining lights in their field, and yet the majority of the milquetoast neo-evangelical or evangelifish radio and television networks would not touch them with a 10-foot pole because they're too controversial. But if you love this show, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. The giving to our show plummeted to an all-time low during the insanity of the COVID mandates, the tyrannical mandates imposed upon people by both the federal and local governments. And I can only assume that this had something to do with the plummeting of the giving to this show. Because it happened simultaneously, and I'm assuming people's livelihoods were severely damaged as a result. Some of them may have lost their livelihoods as a result of these insane mandates. So, as I said, we've never bounced back. We need your help more than ever. If you love the show and want it to continue, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event you want to promote. Whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because I am just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as I am in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please always remember, as urgently as I need your donation and as desperate as Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is to receive them, I never want anybody cutting in to the finances that they have set aside for their own church where you are a member. So don't give your church less money on the Lord's Day than you normally give your church in order to bless us with a gift. Please don't do that. One of the main pillars of why this show was founded was to be a helping hand, a right arm, and a platform to the biblically faithful local pastor and the local church. I never want to do anything that harms the local pastor and the local church, and that includes financially. So don't, for my sake, give your own church less money. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a gift. The Bible is clear that we are first and foremost, when it comes to our finances, to support our church and our family. Supporting this radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, and you love this show and you don't want it to go away, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind you of some upcoming events. First Love Radio, who live streams this program that you're listening to, they are a subsidiary of First Love Ministries, and they are having a conference coming up very soon, August 26th and 27th, which is a Saturday and Sunday, and this is going to be held at the Reformed Baptist Church of Tama, Iowa, and the conference speakers, my dear friend Joe Jackowitz, president of First Love Ministries, and Austin Huggins of First Love Ministries, and also the pastor, a pastor in Baghdad, Florida. The theme of the conference is sanctification, how to grow in holiness. If you want more details, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org. Also, don't forget about the three-day event that you've been hearing advertised every day on this show, the Future of Christendom Conference in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, which is Lancaster County, featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, which also includes a debate on homosexuality. Go to futureofchristendom.org for that three-day event, futureofchristendom.org. And also, I just got word that we finally have our full Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon established with a speaker, Jeff Noblett, who is the pastor of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard in my life. He is our guest speaker on Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Absolutely free of charge for men in ministry leadership. And not only is admission free and the meal for free, but everybody there will get a heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me, which have been donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. For more details on registering for that, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, and we would love to get you registered. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring church, like the Independence Reformed Bible Church in Lancaster County that we've been discussing, well, please, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, if you're without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email address to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many people in our audience spanning the globe. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to our guest today, John Bingaman, on the necessity of church planting. And we were saying before the break, John, that there are, and I don't want to impugn the motives of everybody who is the pastor of a very large church, possibly even correctly identified as a megachurch, but there are people, I have met some men who have no interest in church planting because they want their empire to grow and grow and grow. And remember, folks, I'm not broad brushing everybody with a large church, everybody who pastors a large church. But that is something that people have to really, on their knees in prayer, contemplate. If their church is busting through the walls and they have thousands of people, don't you think it is a really wise and biblical and Christ-honoring thing to contemplate the planting of other churches so that these churches can have adequate oversight and that, so that the good news can be spread in a further direction geographically?
Yeah, Chris, I'm kind of getting in the weeds here when I talk about the size of churches, because you're right. There are faithful pastors out there who have large churches. You know, during the break, I looked it up here in 1 Thessalonians. At the end of the book, it talks about, beginning in chapter or in verse 13, it says, "Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." And that's all being said in the context of Paul's letter to a church. He's talking about that church. How do you do all those things with 500 people? It's going to be very difficult to do those things. So, you know, I'm not saying leave your large church. What I'm saying is examine yourself, examine your motives. Are you going to a large church so you can say, "Oh gosh, I go to so-and-so's church and, you know, he's heard on the radio from coast to coast"? Are you going to that church because the teaching is absolutely so biblical that you can't wait to get there on a Sunday to get recharged? Or you go into, you know, large churches, you can go to the church and hide. It's sometimes it's tempting if you've been in a tough situation, where you feel like you've either been neglected or even abused in your church. And I'm, you know, like emotionally abused or just ignored or cast aside. It's easy to go to a big church and hide. You know, "Oh, I'm still going to church," but you're just putting in your time, you're marking time. So I don't mean to make this whole thing a diatribe against big churches. I really don't. I'm really arguing for people examining their hearts, looking at the Bible, finding out it and examining whether their church is doing the things that the Bible says. The book of Acts and the epistles where Paul's writing and Peter's writing to these churches, it gives us so much insight into what's intended in Christ's church, how he wants his churches to be organized and to care for one another. And so that's where I see the necessity of church planting coming into play. So I should have said importance of church planting, or even just scaled it back to mechanics of what we did at IRBC to get going. But that's, you know, that's where I kind of land on the big church thing. It just seems to me that it's almost impossible to meet the biblical admonitions when you get in a church that's too big. That's my two cents on big churches. So,
well, what else would you like to tell our listeners in regard to the necessity of church planning?
I can give you some of the mechanics of what we did at to get IRBC going. In many ways, it sprang out of the startup of Mars. You know, Joel was endearing himself to people locally. In his most of the talks that we gave at Mars were done by Joel, and he's very a very strong personality, and he's got very quick and ready answers for the questions that people will throw at him. You've interviewed him, I believe, and you know that to be true. And so when we were decrying the state of our current churches back in 2013 to a friend of ours, I don't know if you've ever interviewed Paul Michael Raymond out of Appomattox.
Actually, I've known Paul Michael Raymond for decades, but I am interviewing him for the first time coming up in September before the conference that you're having.
Of course, because he'll be a speaker.
Yeah, so that's Thursday, September 7th. He is going to be on the floor.
Yeah. Paul was visiting here in Pennsylvania in over the 4th of July in 2013, and we had dinner with him at Joel and Audrey's house, and Joel and I were wringing our hands about our churches. I was in a church that was dispensational in its leanings, and we were into the pastor was going through Matthew, and we were getting into we were into Matthew 23, and I was dreading getting to Matthew 24. And anyway, we were talking, and Paul said to us, well, why don't you guys, you know, you have a following with Mars. Why don't you start a church? And we both kind of looked at each other and said, well, you know, starting a church is a pretty serious business, which is what, your previous, listener had written about. Is gosh, you know, here's a guy kind of out on his own starting a church. But we talked about it a little bit, and he challenged us, what in earth is holding you back? And Joel looked at him and said, I'm afraid it won't be successful. And Paul he put his finger right in Joel's face and he said, that's the wrong answer. Huh. He said, it's not your work. It's the Lord's work. They said, "What you need to do, you need to be faithful at it. If you're serious about it, just go at it and be faithful, and let the Lord bring the increase. Let the Lord bring success. It's His church, after all." So, Paul had to leave, and Joel and his wife and my wife and I sat and we talked about this up to about almost midnight, and decided that indeed we would start a church with the help of the members on the board of directors at Mars, and with Paul Raymond's help and a couple other pastors that we knew. We would craft a statement of faith, a constitution, put some things in place, and see if we had enough interest. And that's why we're named the Independence Reformed Bible Church, because it was on Independence Day in 2013 that we decided to start our church. And so the mechanics of it were that we had found like-minded people through the Mars lectures. We were talking about how the Bible applies to all of life. And so we knew that people who would be attending the church are coming with that mindset already. That's what they're going to hear. And that's what we're going to try to fill them with on a Sunday morning is, admonition and exhortation and edification on how to apply the Bible to day-to-day circumstances. And so we began in a rented fire hall. I think we probably had 50 people at our first church service. And now we've moved to a school, a Christian school, where we meet in their gym on a Sunday. And we probably have 140 to 150 on a Sunday. And we're starting to get, you know, we're starting to feel like, is this getting too big? not to revisit that theme, but we grew because we didn't shut down over COVID, although we did get tossed out of the building. We met in a pavilion during the summer of 2020 until they allowed us back into the building. But again, with the mechanics, we often look at the idea of, should we be finding our own building or continue to meet in a rented space? And Joel's stock answer to that is when the building would serve Christ's church and not us serving the building, that's time to get a building. When we don't have to be worrying about keeping the parking lot paved and the roof on and that kind of thing, but that the building is getting worn out by homeschoolers in there every day and that kind of thing, well, then we should have a building. And at the moment, it seems very very simple to continue to rent and stay lean. And that's the way we're operating now. There are some other maybe quirks that we have. We're not big fans of the state, as you might guess, being Reformed Baptists. We didn't like what they did with COVID. We like even less when they're looking over your shoulder with banking accounts. So we've stayed pretty small, and we simply operate on cash. Our needs are very limited, because all we got to do is pay the rent and some expenses here and there. But we've just decided that we're not having the government look over our shoulder for every check we write and every check we receive. So that's we've just decided to stick with that, and we continue to be active in the community. We just did an event in an outreach to a gay pride festival in Lititz, Pennsylvania. That was, what was that, back in June during Pride Month, so-called Pride Month. And our goal is really to feed our people who come on a Sunday and encourage them to go out and be Christians all week. We don't want to beat them up with programs all week long that they need to be coming into the church to keep them out of their houses. Instead, we encourage them to be Christians on the job, be Christians in whatever their passion may be. We've had abolitionists. We've had people who are very active in adoption ministries. We have book writers. We have speakers. It's our job, we see, to feed them and keep them going and to hold their arms up in the fight. So that's kind of the story of IRBC, how we got going. The question ends up being, at what point do we try to spin out daughter or sister congregations? We hope for that problem. we'll face that when we get to it. Not quite there.
Before I go to another listener question, I have a question of my own. Can pastors be too possessive of congregation members that have developed different perspectives on theology and doctrine, where they would respond overly negatively, if that's even grammatically correct, about a group of people, perhaps even one of the elders, who says to the pastor and the other elders, we have come to, let's say, we've come to believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, or we have come to believe in postmillennialism, we have come to believe in theonomy, or perhaps these are people in your congregation, and they say, you know, we've come to believe in an amillennial position, or we have come to believe in paedobaptism. You know, you could go on and on with these things, where they say, we believe it is best for us to leave and possibly plant a church, calling a man qualified to pastor it. We don't want to be too close to yours. We don't want to create a conflict as far as geography is concerned, but we feel this is best. And you may have pastors that blow a gasket over this and act like a serious crime has been committed. And I'm not talking about people that are delving or devolving into aberrant heretical theology. I'm talking about people who just have developed an understanding within a church that is significant enough in its difference from what that church stands for, that they believe it is best mm-hmm. that they part company. And don't you think that elders of churches, even though they might want to have a series of sit downs with them and go over these things in a study and things like that, but don't you think that too many pastors might be overly possessive, not wanting these people to go?
Oh yeah, absolutely, Chris. And so, boy, that's a minefield. When we got started with Mars, as I mentioned earlier, we thought that, well, Mars will be a lovely adjunct to a number of churches in order to teach how the Bible applies to all of life. Well, you know, and the pastors put this, you know, the old Heisman Trophy arm out. I said, thanks anyway. We're not interested. And I think that what you just elucidated there is exactly what was going on. Is the threat was that, okay, we're going to come at them with a theology that they've never heard. It's a bit more robust form of Christianity than what most people are accustomed to, because it's putting feet to your faith. And it's saying, no, you need to go out and get something done. You need to go out and apply the Christianity that you're learning on a Sunday all week long. And I think there are too many churches who have bought into the two kingdoms theology, that there's this kingdom and that kingdom, and that Sunday is what you need to worry about. And, you know, we're also, you start to get involved in the idea of, you know, when people leave, they're taking their tithes with them. And so, you know, because IRBC runs so lean, we're not concerned about that. We have people in our congregation who lean towards paedobaptism. You know, they have Presbyterian tendencies. We have people who came to us during COVID who were Presbyterians. And they tolerate us because, well, we're at least, you know, being faithful to the scripture. And so, it's just been a matter of fact, it was last weekend we had a baptism. I think we had seven candidates, that we baptized, and the Presbyterians came along and watched. You know, it's a wonderful thing, but we're not going to kick people to the curb for their paedo-baptist beliefs. But on the other, or if they leave, that it's a matter of their own conscience. And that's the, you know, we try to hold on to our congregation very lightly, but you're right. There are pastors who are looking at the bottom line. There are pastors who are looking at the empty pews, that are going to react very negatively, to even honest and sincerely felt differences in theology where people feel like they got to leave. My pastor of the church that I left when we started IRBC, I thought it was the only decent thing to do was go in and have an exit interview. And as he was actually a great disciple of John MacArthur. I think he'd been to 24 or 26 straight shepherds conferences and, you know, really sincerely held dispensational belief that I just didn't have. And we talked very honestly about it. And to his credit, after the meeting, he sat back in his chair and said, well, I guess we really see things differently. And he sent me out, not necessarily with his blessing, but he sent me out with his understanding of why I was leaving. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful for that. I truly was. And he was a very nice man. I really had a lot of respect for him. He was a great evangelist. He hated public schools with a passion, which was made him very admirable in my estimation. And the terrible irony was that he ended up getting killed by a school bus on his motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's just a few years after after we started IRBC. So anyway, that's a little bunny trail. Nonetheless, I couldn't agree with you more that too many pastors are looking at their churches as if it's a business. They're worried about too many of the peripherals, not that they're majoring in the minors, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. And if you have a question, I would advise you to send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com, For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
And please make note, folks, you've been hearing ads every day for the Historical Bible Society. That ministry was founded by my dear friend of many decades, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. So please don't forget that Dan is also a serious injury and medical malpractice attorney, and he could get you help if you are the victim of an accident or medical malpractice in all 50 states. No matter where you live in America, he can get you the assistance that you need in a court of law to further ensure your victory in that courtroom. So make sure you call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and always mention that you heard about that law firm from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, please write down that phone number and website, maybe tack it to your refrigerator door, because you may not need that phone number or website now, but there may be a time in your future where you do. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT or www.1800nowhurt.com. We are now back with our guest, John Bingaman, and we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, in your opinion, when a church is being planted, how much diversity of thought and over which areas do you think is permissible for elders to have?
Well, so in our church, we believe that it, to be an elder, you would have to subscribe to Baptist theology. We use the 1689 London Baptist Confession. If you can sign off on that, that's fine. We don't actually require you to sign anything. But then there's the questions, in our own elder board, we have questions about membership. Whether or not we should have a closed table at communion. And we have differing opinions on that within the elder board. As far as what other diversity, I think you have to agree on the doctrines of grace Yeah. I mean, we are theonomic and postmillennial. I think that we would have a little bit of wiggle room for how postmillennial you want to be. There are some different views on whether or not you're going to be an idealist or not. But
how about a very optimistic amillennialist?
There you go. Yeah, thank you, Chris. As far as being on the elder board, I think we'd need a little bit more conformity than what we are expecting in the pew. I don't know how else to answer that.
No, I think you've answered it sufficiently. And before we run out of time, I really want you to summarize the primary things, the most vital things that you want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this topic before we go off the air.
Okay. Yeah, well, Christian, in one of your breaks, you had talked about the brilliant people you have on your show. I'm not one of those. I'm just a guy that got saved and trying to put feet to it.
Well, you did a fine job as far as I'm concerned. And when I said that, by the way, I love having local pastors and elders on my show because they are the guys on the front lines and in the trenches when it comes to the body of Christ and discipleship and so on. So I don't only have celebrity theologians on my show. I just want to make sure that that's clear.
Understood. Thank you for that, Chris. I would like to say to people, you know, we got our start at IRBC through Mars, and people are going to say, well, you know, I don't have a Mars to start a church out of. But what we often do is encourage people who are, if you're theonomic and if you're post-mill, we don't copyright anything that we've written or recorded. And if you were to go to thefutureofchristendom.org, you'll find links to the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. You'll find links in there to previous videos and some audio that we've done in the past. You know, get people together. See if you have interest in these kinds of things. If people are like-minded, you may find that you blossom into what can easily become a church. And so, you know, build on what we've done before. Look around, see if you can find a work that is getting started, and find that those people love the Lord. If you can help, put your helping hands in there. It's what this world needs is not more churches on corners. What this world needs is the Church of Jesus Christ out there in the public square in society, doing what the church is supposed to do, which is proclaim the rights of King Jesus and that we love his law and that his law is perfect and good. That's what I want people to take away from what they've heard from me today. Put feet to it.
Well, thank you so much for doing such an excellent job today. And I want to remind our listeners, please, if you are able to get to Lancaster County, September 15th, 16th, and 17th, please register for the Future of Christendom Conference featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who is the keynote speaker. There are a number of speakers, but he is the keynote. And on Saturday, September 16th, during that three-day event, at 3:30 p.m., Dr. White will be conducting a debate with an individual, Dr. Gregory Coles, who identifies himself as a gay Christian. And the theme of the debate is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So I hope that you register for that three-day event as soon as possible at futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. And don't forget about the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, who is putting that event on. And that website is MidAtlanticReformationSociety.org. There's no society in the website. I apologize. MidAtlanticReformation.org. MidAtlanticReformation.org. And don't forget about the Independent Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. And that website is irbc.church. irbc.church. And make note, folks, also, James White is returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio again for another interview on Wednesday, September 6th, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. So please mark your calendars for that as well. And folks, One last time, please don't forget that we are in urgent need of your financial help. I always hate to bring this up. It really makes my stomach churn to have to do it. But we are in really a dire need of your financial help ever since the COVID crisis and the mandates. The giving to this show plummeted, and we've never bounced back. If you want to donate or advertise, please go to IronTrepansIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now, or send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I hope you all have a wonderful, safe, blessed, joyful, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.